It's time once again for The Bible Answer Man with your host Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Should Christians embrace Halloween as just a fun excuse for the kids to wear costumes? Or should we turn off the lights, not answer the doorbell, and wait for the day to pass? Well, to help us get a perspective on this, Hank has invited Gretchen Passantino, co-founder of Answers in Action, to join us and talk about Halloween. Today's Bible Answer Man is a rebroadcast of a recorded program. Please consider contacting CRI and ask about Halloween and the spiritual covering we need as Christians throughout the year. Just call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host for the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
We are now asking questions about Halloween. Should we participate in Halloween? Should we accommodate Halloween? Or should we vigorously denounce Halloween? And to answer those questions and many others, in studio with me, Gretchen Passantino, as already mentioned, she is the founder and the president of Answers in Action and a good friend of this ministry. I want to start out, Gretchen, by talking about the history of Halloween.
Well, you know, Hank, I think something that you and I have both talked about many times before and that we'll certainly be emphasizing today is that there is no day that is specially consecrated to Satan, and all days should be consecrated to God. It's not a matter of trying to redeem an evil holiday. All days belong to God, and every breath that we breathe comes to us from God. So as we look at this holiday, as we look at other holidays, as we look at commemorations or anniversaries of things that are bad that have happened, we need to remember that in every case, God is in control of it all. God is the one who's the king and the one we are to worship and the one that we are to, as Jesus says, fear in the sense of a healthy awe and respect. Halloween itself is a contraction of the phrase the holy evening. And it really started the term Halloween as a Christian term to refer to the beginning of the 24-hour celebration of what's called All Saints Day, or the one day in the year when Christians all over the world would gather together to remember and thank God for the testimonies, the lives of the saints, those people who had gone before us and had been exemplary paragons of virtue and faithfulness. Many of them were martyrs and died for their faith. And we picked that time just as a special time to commemorate those people. The holidays in the historic Christian church were celebrated just like the Jewish ones, where time is counted from sundown to sundown rather than our culture from sunrise to sunrise. So the holiday begins with the sundown. That's the evening of the holy day, or the Halloween, the holy evening, and then continues through the next day until the next sundown. All Saints Day is what we would refer to as November 1st. But originally what happened was during the time, you know, some approaching the time of the winter solstice, approaching the time when the sun was out for the least amount of time during the day, when the weather was the coldest, when the vegetation was growing the least, when the animals weren't giving birth, that time of death and decay and ending was a time that the pagan cultures around the world, who had forgotten that all life comes from God and that He is eternal, that He never dies and comes back again, they used that to commemorate this ending, this death thing. And they began to celebrate all kinds of ceremonies having to do with being afraid of death, with placating what they believed were evil spirits, with providing for their loved ones who had died so that they could somehow placate the gods of the other world into having a good afterlife. And it was into that scene that Christianity came. Of course, we know with the Roman Empire that Christianity came as early as the end of the first century to the British Isles. But it didn't really have a strong foothold in Northern Europe and the United Kingdom until almost the 500s. And around that time period, we have the time of St. Patrick, who Christianized Ireland. You have a lot of the other saints or early leaders of the church who brought the gospel to Northern Europe and the United Kingdom. And because All Saints Day was celebrated at different times during different parts of the year throughout the Christian church, these evangelists saw an opportunity to band together and choose one day that would be in stark contrast to the pagan celebrations they saw around them, and to use that day to celebrate All Saints Day. And so they picked the day that was the closest to the most common times that the pagans would be celebrating their celebrations of fear and loathing of death and of worry that they had to placate the gods, and instead use it as a time to say, though you are dead, yet you will live if you place your trust in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He alone is the one who was dead and is now raised from the dead, and who promises to all of us eternal life if we follow him. The celebration of All Saints Day became an appropriate time for them to say, you mourn your loved ones who died. You worry that they may not be good enough for the other life. You worry that the gods might not be fair and might not take good care of them. You're worrying foolishly. Trust in Jesus Christ, and all these saints of the past are testimony that when you trust in Christ, you can die with dignity and go to your eternal reward.
So Christians then did not see Halloween as oppression, but as an opportunity to take what was pagan and use that as a springboard or an opportunity to talk about resurrection. The real solution to death and the grave ultimately is the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Well, certainly if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you are steeped in a culture that says that death is frightening, that whatever is after death is just as full of uncertainty and fear and depravity as this life, it would be a very oppressive thing, and you would be very fearful. You might worry about demons. You might worry about the gods and goddesses and not properly pleasing them. It could be a horrible kind of a life. In fact, the whole idea of wearing scary monster masks and imitating demons started as people, because the pagan people, some of them believed that demons would bother them if they didn't properly placate them by leaving out treats and other things of value for them, in some way placating the demons and the gods. And so if you wore a demon mask, you could fool the demons. They wouldn't know that you weren't one of them, and you wouldn't be subject to their attacks. But this is all pagan false philosophy. This is all false belief. This is something that the church didn't come in and be afraid of or run from or warn people of as though there is any power opposed to God in actual reality. But instead, they saw it as an opportunity to bring liberty and freedom and peace to people who were oppressed by their own fears and their own ignorance.
So if you look at the history of Halloween, Halloween proper is a Christian holiday.
Exactly.
Response to a pagan practice. Today, however, it is largely pagan again, in the sense of it being a secular holiday or even a pagan holiday. Is there a silver lining for us today, and should we participate?
Well, there is a silver lining. It is a pagan holiday in the sense that it is not Christian very much anymore. Most people have forgotten about All Saints Day. Most people don't take it as an opportunity to share the freedom and the love that we can have in Christ. But it's not pagan in the sense that it's almost entirely secular. Most of the people who celebrate it have no religious conviction at all, or they have just some sort of a vague, amorphous, yeah, I kind of believe in God, I guess I'm an American kind of thing. It is the second largest commercial holiday in the United States. It makes more money for retailers than any other holiday except for Christmas. And of course, you have a whole month to build up to Christmas, and it seems like now people are spending a whole month to build up to Halloween. The candy sales for Halloween are almost the same as they are for Easter now, and yet Easter was traditionally the candy holiday. I think it already has passed that for Christmas. But these are all pagan things. Someone who dresses up on Halloween and goes to a costume party and eats candy corn is no more likely to be a devotee of Satan or of witchcraft or of anything like that than someone who gets up on Christmas morning and opens Christmas presents and maybe even darkens the door of a church for once a year is a Christian just because they're celebrating Christmas. As a matter of fact, most people celebrate both holidays because it's a time to get together, to have fun, and to celebrate some things that are kind of in the vestiges of their cultural memory as a human experience, and yet they really have no understanding of the value or the purpose behind certainly the Christian holidays of All Saints Day or the celebration of Christ's birth, or even the pagan or polytheistic, the folk religion, the non-Christian religions that preceded Christianity in Northern Europe and the United Kingdom.
Gretchen, one of the issues that people struggle with when it comes to Halloween is the difference between witches and Satanists. So often Christians confuse Satanists as witches or vice versa, but there's a very significant difference, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is a big difference. It would be as though somebody were to come to you and start trying to prove to you that Muhammad is not a prophet of God, and you were to say, what are you talking about? I don't believe Muhammad's a prophet of God. They'd say, well, you're a monotheist, aren't you? You're a Muslim, aren't you? Well, no, I'm a Christian. Well, monotheist, Christian, Muslim, it's all the same thing. You used to believe all that monotheistic stuff. Well, witches and Satanists have very, very different worldviews. And just because we don't agree with them as Christians doesn't mean that we can lump them all together as though they were the same thing. They're not any more the same thing than to say that a Muslim and a Christian believe the same thing. In fact, they believe very different things. And at least the Muslim believes in one God and the Christian believes in one God. But with witches and Satanists, they don't even have that kind of thing in common. In fact, most witches, if they have any set belief in the idea of a supernatural being or beings, believe in more than one god or goddess. They believe in spiritual powers, if they believe that the supernatural actually exists. And they are more involved in environmentalism, in seeing the innate unity of all reality. They're kind of pantheistic in the sense that everything is of the same substance, everything has the same spiritual value. The Gaia movement is another reference to what commonly is termed by Christians as witchcraft. It's an idea that all of existence is holy, all of existence has the same spiritual value, and that our goal as humans is to be in harmony and be in tune with the whole, with the entire, with the whole organism of existence. And they are not violent. They don't sacrifice living things. Many of them won't even sacrifice plants. Many of them are vegetarians. Most of them are involved in practices that either they have borrowed and adopted from pre-Christian or non-Christian polytheistic religions, or sometimes they've even invented their own systems. That's what most witches are involved in. Do they practice spells, whatever you mean by the term spell? They do. They practice things that they believe help them to become in spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical harmony with the world around them. For any witch to say something like, to want to be destructive towards someone or to practice quote-unquote black magic is really kind of against the whole system of contemporary witchcraft that we see today. Now, the Old Testament, when it uses the term witchcraft, as translated especially by the King James Bible from, the 1600s and also by other translations, refers to practices, not to worldviews. When those terms are ascribed in the Old Testament, they're ascribed to people who are living in the Jewish culture with the Jewish worldview, which is not the contemporary witchcraft worldview. In the Jewish worldview, there is only one God, and any spiritual force or entity set up against that one God is by definition excluded and outlawed. And so witches who participated in practices that had been outlawed by God or that were related to the worship and service of idols were considered enemies of God, not because they were like what we have today in contemporary witchcraft, but because they were doing practices within the context of a monotheistic worldview that they knew were treasonous, spiritually treasonous actions. Satanists, on the other hand, there are a number of different kinds of Satanists, and one of the things, because it's a religion that appeals to the self-indulgent, they tend to be as varied as there are practitioners. Everybody can do his own thing. Most Satanists don't believe that spiritual reality exists. Most of them don't believe that God exists, much less that a spiritual entity named Satan exists. But they hate Christianity, and they set themselves up as their own gods, as their own determiners of their own fate. They put their own needs, their own wants, their own desires first, and everybody else can be expendable in that realm. Some Satanists do believe that spiritual power exists. Some of them believe that there's just kind of power out there, kind of like the force of gravity or the, something like that, some natural force, but it's a non-physical force, and that they can tap into it and use it for their own goals. And while they probably wouldn't want to describe themselves as destructive or evil, because their ethical system is, if it benefits me, it's good. If it doesn't benefit me, it's bad. They could very well imagine hurting someone or exploiting someone or manipulating things against someone else for their own benefit. I'm not saying that all Satanists do that. I'm just saying that their worldview allows for that. Where in the witchcraft worldview, your whole goal is not self-indulgence, but self-absorption. In no way am I saying that the occultic trappings or imitations of Halloween are something that Christians should emulate or support. In no way am I saying that Satanism is spiritually harmless or as good a religious choice as any other. In no way am I saying that witchcraft, even as benign as it is in comparison to some more destructive practices, in no way am I saying that that is a good religious choice or that it is equal or even superior to Christianity. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and it is only through him that we are reconciled to God and enjoy eternal life. But it is very important that we are credible in our witness, that we can be counted on to tell the truth. When we mischaracterize history or mischaracterize a religious group or a movement, we do no favor to the gospel, and instead we tell people that we are incredible, that we cannot be trusted, unless we can understand from the point of view of the person involved in it what is meant. Then we do not have the credibility to say why it is that we are absolutely convinced that God's Word has the answer to all of these things.
We're talking to Gretchen Passantino. We're talking about the subject of Halloween. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more of Gretchen Passantino.
We can learn a lot from the early Christians and how they responded to Halloween. On October 31st, the eve prior to All Saints' Day, they would designate this day as a holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the gospel over the superstition of ghosts. Please consider contacting CRI and ask about Halloween and the spiritual covering we need as Christians throughout the year. Hank Hanegraaff says that more than any author he's ever read, A.W. Tozer helps us understand what it means to walk in the abundant life Christ offers. And it's why Hank wants to send you a copy of Tozer's priceless book, The Pursuit of God. It's Hank's gift to you to thank you for your donation to help support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of The Pursuit of God when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. Whether you walk the aisle or pray to prayer so you can have everlasting life, that's not what Christianity is about. It's an abundant life that begins when you first believe and continues as you become aware of the layers of sin embedded within your embodied self and you become attentive to the indwelling Holy Spirit in order to partake in the life of Christ. A.W. Tozer's classic book, The Pursuit of God, helps you understand all of this, including what it means to live an abundant life in Christ. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of The Pursuit of God to thank you for financially supporting this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So be sure to request your copy when you call with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Despite the abysmally poor track record of doomsday prophets, a growing movement emphasizing survival and preparedness in the face of anticipated widespread catastrophe has begun to garner mainstream attention. How should Christians respond to those who take prepping seriously? Are there theological ramifications? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and Matthew 24, New Light or New Hermeneutic? Is soul sleep biblical? Facing the Islamic Challenge, field-tested responses to 5 Muslim objections, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a little book in your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God, and Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. And it's then that you begin to live out what you believe as an earnest disciple. The pursuit of God helps you to understand this more clearly, and it's ready and waiting for you. All you have to do to request your copy is call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. What does it mean to live an abundant life in Christ? A.W. Tozer's book titled The Pursuit of God helps you see how, as Hank Hanegraaff says, the Holy Spirit quickens you to life and regeneration as you sense your kinship with God. Hank wants to send you this powerful resource today as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So be sure to request your copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Let's get back to more of the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
We're talking to Gretchen Pasentino. She is the president and founder of Answers in Action, and we're talking about a subject that she knows more about than most people out there. In fact, she was a contributor to the information we have at the Christian Research Institute on Halloween. We're going to go right to your phone calls now. Melanie in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania. You're on with Gretchen Pasentino. Hi, Melanie.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on some of the things that this woman said.
Hi, I'm Gretchen.
For instance, All Saints Day. I don't see anything in the Bible about that.
Hebrews...
The Bible says all believers are saints. And nobody the Catholic Church has canonized certain people, and they invoke them, Mary and the saints, to intercede for them when Christ is the only intermediary between God and man. Nobody is above another person. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God."
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that we should celebrate Halloween and support witches and all these evil things. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me."
Well, let Gretchen respond here. Hang on just one second,
okay,
Melanie,
okay,
and she'll try to give you a credible answer.
Okay, Melanie, Yes, all of us are saints, but some people are exemplary examples of faith, and we are to look to them, and as Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord.
And we have a faith hall of fame.
Exactly.
Well, in the Bible.
We think of Abraham in the Old Testament, who was willing to sacrifice his own son that God had promised he would bless the nations through, knowing that if necessary, God would raise him from the dead in order to fulfill his promise. We have Moses, who even though he was slow of speech and stumbling in speech, listened and did what God said what God said, and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a whole list of examples of people who followed God and believed what he said. And that chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, ends with, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." So yes, as Peter says, we are all part of the great hall of saints. And there's nothing wrong with taking from among those saints, of whom are you and me and Melanie and all the other Christians, and saying that person in particular is a great testimony of someone who suffers without complaining. That person over there is a great testimony of someone who takes every opportunity to share the gospel, even when it's not convenient. That's what we're saying by All Saints Day. We're not saying that nobody but those remembered on All Saints Day are saints. We're not saying that you can't ever thank God for a good role model any other day of the year. We're saying that we're going to take a special occasion during the year to particularly honor and remember those people who were exemplary role models of the faith.
I want to go back to the phone lines. Renee in Cypress, California. Hi, Renee.
How you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Good. Basically, I just wanted to thank you for your information that you're giving to us. It's very knowledgeable. Gretchen, thank you so much for your knowledge and all that you have. I think that as Christians, we should be more kind when we call, because it is important we're getting this information, not to necessarily always be so debate, but to listen, because the Bible speaks clearly about us listening and being slow to speak. So I just want to thank you so much. My question, ma'am, is pertaining to the knowledge that you have acquired about Satanism, witchcraft, so on and so forth. Is it from the Holy Spirit or also from books and knowledge that you have, your education?
All of that and more. Actually, I've studied everything that God's Word has to say on the subject. I spent a lot of time in prayer and contemplation and quiet reflection and meditation on God's Word. I've researched practically everything that is not only in print, but that has been in print for the last several hundred years on the subject. I've, as firsthand sources, original editions, and things from before the last 200 or 300 years as they were quoted in things, they're no longer accessible. And then also I spent an enormous amount of time actually investigating the situation as it exists today, talking to witches, talking to Satanists, talking to ex-witches, talking to ex-Satanists, hearing stories, hearing rumors, hearing claims, and tracking them down and tracing them. Are they true or not true? Did they really happen or they didn't really happen? And I would say that that last part of the research was probably the most difficult part of the research, because it takes an enormous amount of perseverance and a willingness to talk with people who are diametrically opposed to what you believe and who, if the rumors are true, can appear to be very menacing and very dangerous. And to spend time with people like that and have a confidence in the Lord and the protection of His Holy Spirit, that you can sit down with someone who's totally opposed to the gospel and yet understand what they believe and why they believe it, and then share with them from God's Word that they can have true liberty in Jesus Christ. So those are the main sources for my research.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joan in Salem, Massachusetts. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Hank. I'm a first-time caller. I'm very excited. My scripture for the month was get wisdom and seek understanding.
Mm.
And Gretchen, thank you. You've really enlightened me. I live right next to a witch's monument and right down the street from the church where they actually had the hanging of the witches in Salem. And I'm involved in a Christian community, and I was just, we're involved in the spiritual battle every season here in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty real, and it's getting to a deeper, darker level. People from all over the world come to Salem and Halloween.
Right. Actually, what's very interesting about the Salem witch trials and the persecution of witches in that very area where you are, mm-hmm. it was the only notable example of the witch hunt craze in the New World. Yeah. And Cotton Mather and some of the other leading Christians who participated in it to begin with later came to the conclusion that they had been caught up in the sensationalism and the rumors, and that what they had done was actually ungodly and unbiblical, and they repented of it and worked to try to undo some of the harm that they had done.
Right.
Of course, destroying somebody's
actually were possessed, and then blamed these Rebecca Nurse and these people. Yeah. Have you ever come to Salem at this time of year?
I haven't been there at this time of year, but I have been there at other times, yes, and I did do a lot of research there, and there are actually some really fascinating books that go into the dynamics both socially and religiously and spiritually that led to that rise of hysteria and actually it was a very short period of time. It was between 3 and 6 months long, the whole thing, and yet it almost totally dominates whatever anybody thinks about your town, Salem, Massachusetts, which is really kind of unusual. And of course, people always remember the bad things that happened. They don't remember the repentance of the people who participated in it later and their attempts to try to undo some of the wrong that they had caused. Now, that's not to say that I think that witchcraft per se, whether you're talking about the things referred to in the Bible or contemporary witchcraft or any other kind of witchcraft, is compatible with the Christian faith or with God's Word. It's not. But to rush to judgment and to destroy people emotionally, spiritually, or even physically on the basis of rumors that are not true is ungodly and unbiblical.
But what's happening now is it's getting darker. They're bringing voodoo in. The windows, the storefronts, the town. It's so oppressively dark that we do prayer walks. We have churches in Salem in this community. It's a spiritual warfare. It's real. It's real. And I don't know what category, witchcraft, satanic, voodoo, but I'm just saying it's getting into a darker where people have the sensationalism of coming in trains from Boston, coming from into this area. It's
well, of course, our culture today.
It's only hide my black cat.
Well, you know, our culture today kind of glories in anything that makes fun of or mocks Christianity or shows Christianity as powerless or weak. And I think sometimes the very best thing we can do in opposition to things like this is to be very proactive and very positive, and not even necessarily directly coming against what they're saying, but instead providing a better alternative. If we can come out and do a positive, exciting event that is going to focus on the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, that's going to focus on the light of the gospel, that's going to focus on the freedom we have in Christ, and that we don't have to get goosebumps or be scared out of our skulls in order to have a good time, but instead that the really good time is to be had with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I think then we are being a light in the culture around us, and it will spread not just in whatever our town is, one that's more or less involved in darkness like yours is, we're providing something better for people.
Interesting that there are so many misconceptions within the Christian world in terms of witches and Satanists, not only Christians confusing the two categories, but also attributing power to witches that witches obviously do not have.
The only Satanists I've come across who have believed that the God of the Bible exists, that Satan is his created fallen angel in opposition to him, and that they are worshiping and serving that character and getting power from him, are ones that grew up in fundamentalist Christian homes, were taught the Bible, and are using this as a form of rebellion against their upbringing and their parents. They may or may not sincerely believe what it is that they're saying, but it comes out of their upbringing in a fundamentalist Christian home, not from their exposure to Satanism. And now, the other important point, the power that witches supposedly and Satanists supposedly have, there is a limited amount of power that any evil person has during this time before Christ's second coming, his final judgment, the reconciliation of all things. That power is very carefully limited by God. God works in the midst of it for his own good pleasure. He allows it and allows the consequences of evil as part of his fairness and his mercy in giving us free will to follow him or to continue rebelling against him. But it is really important that we understand that Satan and all of his powers, whether they are in false religions like Hinduism and Islam, or the cults like Mormonism or Hare Krishnas, or in other worldviews like Satanism or witchcraft, all of the powers of the devil were defeated by Jesus Christ on his cross. Colossians 2:15 tells us not merely that the power of the devil was defeated by the cross, but that in fact by the cross, Christ publicly humiliated and shamed the forces of darkness. And that's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 can tell us to put on the full armor of God and give us the confidence that we will stand against the powers of evil. Not in ourselves, not by a word that comes out of our mouths, but by the power of God and his word, the word that is enfleshed in Jesus Christ and given to us specially and perfectly in his word, the Old and the New Testaments. And so Ephesians chapter 6 doesn't tell us to make little spells, doesn't tell us to speak forth words, doesn't tell us to plead the blood on our house or go put oil on our doorposts. Ephesians 6 tells us to live the disciplined Christian life in the power of Jesus Christ, who has defeated the enemy already.
And I call Ephesians chapter 6 the covering. In fact, I wrote a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If you put on the full armor of God, you're a guaranteed victor in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. The Covering, also available through the Christian Research Institute when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with Gretchen Pasentino and your questions.
As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Christianity isn't just an argument. It's an experience, a life that's been exchanged and engrafted. It's the powerful truth of the very life of Christ within. Hank Hanegraaff wants you to be blessed with this understanding by sending you a copy of A.W. Tozer's book titled The Pursuit of God. It's his gift to thank you for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So be sure to request your copy when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. There's more coming up from Hank Hanegraaff after this. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a little book in your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God. And Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. And it's then that you begin to live out what you believe as an earnest disciple. The Pursuit of God helps you to understand this more clearly, and it's ready and waiting for you. All you have to do to request your copy is call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because Western apologetics has placed far more emphasis on atheism than it has on Islam, many Christians know little about Islam and do not feel equipped to engage Muslims in dialogue. It should be encouraging, however, that successfully defending the gospel against Muslim objections is a rather easy skill to develop. Other topics include thoughts on Jason Collins' homosexuality and athletes, the great debate about English Bible versions, the original Fight Club, understanding the philosophy of Karl Marx, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Whether you walk the aisle or pray to prayer so you can have everlasting life, that's not what Christianity is about. It's an abundant life that begins when you first believe and continues as you become aware of the layers of sin embedded within your embodied self and you become attentive to the indwelling Holy Spirit in order to partake in the life of Christ. A.W. Tozer's classic book, The Pursuit of God, helps you understand all of this, including what it means to live an abundant life in Christ. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of The Pursuit of God to thank you for financially supporting this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So be sure to request your copy when you call with your gift. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you ready to take a journey deep into your soul and into the presence of what God is all about? A.W. Tozer's timeless classic, The Pursuit of God, helps you do just that. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of The Pursuit of God when you call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And now it's time for more answers from the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Go right back to the phone lines, Providence, Rhode Island. Nelson, you're on with Gretchen. Hi, Nelson.
Hi. I wanted to know, what about the Skull and Bone Society from Yale that the Bushes are members of? And it's a secret, well, not so secret anymore, but it's they do satanic rituals. And how can Christians believe that George Bush claims to be born again, but yet him and his father belong to the Skull and Bones secret?
I'm glad you've asked the question, and I think it's something that's very, very important for us to address. The Skull and Bones Society through, I think it's Yale University, it's like the Masons or like the Elks or like the Lions or like the Shriners. It's a similar kind of thing, but it's associated with the university. Now, most of those groups grew out of what were called the anti-morality or hellfire clubs of the late Enlightenment, right around the time of the French Revolution, which is just a little bit after our own revolution, 1776. And they were a way for the aristocracy, for the upper classes, to celebrate their freedom from the constrictions of the old, dead church authority that they had had before. For the first time, you had government by people, for people, accountable to people, rather than something that was recognized to be derived from God, ordained by God, and the leaders of it picked by God. In that climate, the freedom from the restrictions of religion was so enthusiastically embraced by the upper classes that they began to form societies, secret clubs, and associations that mocked or made fun of monastic orders, convents, and other kinds of religious organizations. By doing that, they were, in essence, through their actions, projecting their rejection of the authority of the church in their everyday lives. Certainly some of them involved horrible sexual debauchery, gross counterfeit imitations or mockeries of Christian rituals, especially Catholic rituals. But by and large, they were not by people who were worshiping Satan or who believed that spiritual powers existed that they could bring to bear or have under their control through these rituals. They were done because they didn't believe in the supernatural, they didn't believe in God, and they mocked and made fun of Christianity. Now, fast forward a couple of generations, they became little more than societies where people got together to have a good time, and most of them generally also had some sort of philanthropic arm so that they could do good for the community without having to do good for the community through the church. Today, most of those associations are the ones that I mentioned. The people involved with them have a wide variety of religious backgrounds. They have a wide variety of commitments to their faith or lack of commitment to their faith. And most of them have little or nothing to do other than some traditional, very, very innocuous activities that relate them to their origins in this kind of anti-Christianity rebellion. My father was a member of the Masons. He was also a very devout Christian. And I often discussed with him how I thought it was incongruous that he could belong to an organization, even though his own participation in his Masonic Lodge was only involved in men getting together to spend a little bit of friendly time with each other and then to help the community, how with that kind of a route and with those kinds of external trappings, I thought he was compromising his faith. At the time, he lived in a little tiny town in the Midwest. He was very, very involved in civic affairs. He felt that it was his duty as a journalist to be a pillar of the community and to be at the forefront in improving life for everybody in the community. He said, "Gretchen, if I'm not involved in this, I'll never be able to have the position I have in this community where I can stand for Jesus Christ and show them that a man of God can give in service to other people." Now, I didn't agree with him. I understood his backing. He said, "I would never deny Jesus Christ. I would never make any of these pledges. Nobody in my group does these kinds of things. And in fact, with the Masons and with the Skull and Bones, they don't participate in sexual licentiousness or satanic rituals or things like that." He said, "Why should I be barred from having this leadership position in my community simply because 300 years ago, this organization that today is doing good in my community had a bad background, a bad origin?" Again, I didn't agree with my father till the day of his death, but I understood his position, I respected it, and I never would have accused him of participating in Satanism or sexual orgies or in other ways denying his faith.
So how does that relate specifically to Bush being involved in Skull and Bones?
What I would propose is, and I've done very careful research on this, as have many other people too, there are not nefarious activities going on in the Skull and Bones Society, and as the caller even said, well, it's not so secret anymore. It really isn't. This is a vestige. This is a leftover. Certainly the origins are very, very bad. But the origin is not the way you can judge the organization today. Again, I'm not approving it. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying that I would ever join something like that, although most of them for men only, so that's kind of an academic question. But it is not the same thing as saying, oh, to join that, you must be a Satanist or you must be a sexual pervert.
Right back to the phone lines. Talk to Sage in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Hi, Sage.
Good evening. I'm so glad I got through. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say a special thanks to Gretchen. I am a modern-day witch. I follow the Wicca religion. And I just wanted to thank you for setting the record straight. There is a definite difference between witches and Satanism. And unfortunately, you know, many people don't know that. But we are not evil people. And it is unethical to cast spells to bring harm against others. So I just wanted to share that with you. Hank, I do listen to your show. And I think although we have different religious paths, that we can all do great things together.
Well,
so I just wanted to thank you for your show and for informing people about Halloween.
Sage, thank you so much for your comments. And, you know, I really think that the Bible tells us that we should practice the golden rule, which is to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. I wouldn't want to be misrepresented. I wouldn't want to be mistreated. I wouldn't want to have untruths told about me. And so I try not to do that about other people, too. And also, there's something that my late husband called the platinum rule, kind of goes beyond the golden rule. And the Apostle Paul talks about it in the letter to the Philippians in the beginning of the chapter, where he says, not only should you think of others as you would have them think of you, but also that you should think of others better than yourself. And he says, in fact, to the struggling church in Philippi, if each one of you treated each other better than you treat yourselves, nobody would have any complaints or arguments or disagreements. And I think that that is a good principle for us to follow, whether we believe in the God of the Bible, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or whether we don't. You can still, I'll give you my permission to borrow that principle from us. And I would also suggest, too, that I am always learning, always growing in my knowledge, and always eager to talk to other people. And if you'd like to correspond with me, just go to my website. It's Answers in Action. You can find it really easily, just answers.org, and email me, and I'd be happy to talk with you. I really do believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the true answer to all people for all time, not an exclusivistic boasting or bigotry way, but in the sense that it really has made a difference in my life. I believe that it has made a difference in the lives of millions of people over time, and I believe that there is enough evidence and enough good reason to believe that it truly is the satisfaction that everybody is searching for in his or her own way. So thank you very much for your call and for your comments about witchcraft, and I'm glad that I didn't misrepresent you.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I think we all have the same goal, just a different way of getting there. I will share with you, since you talked about the golden rule, the Wiccan read is to do what thou will and bring harm to none.
Right.
So I think the idea is very much the same, and I appreciate your offer to correspond, and I will definitely take you up on that. I think we could learn a lot from each other. And, Hank, thanks so much for your show.
Okay, but before you go, I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
As a witch, what do you believe about Jesus Christ?
You know, that is a really good question. I was raised Southern Baptist, and, you know, witches believe in many gods and goddesses, and I consider Jesus Christ a god that I do worship at times. But there are also other gods that I worship at times, too.
Okay, and
so he's one of many.
Okay, and I'm going to have Gretchen respond to that just for the benefit of everybody else, including yourself.
Sure.
Again, Sage, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, Hank. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Okay.
Okay.
Gretchen, what about that? Well, is it a palatable notion to suggest that Jesus Christ is one of many gods, or do we have to take the position that he is the truth, he is the life, no one comes to the Father but by him, because he's the only way to God?
Well, you know, I respect her right to believe whatever she wants to believe. God gives us that choice, that ability. But I also believe that there really is only one way that is true. It may be the way of all ways, as Sage is saying, or it may be the way of one way of Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, and as Christianity has taught for more than 2,000 years. The question is, how can we know? What is it? Is it the many ways of sage? Is it the one way of the Bible? Or is it some other alternative that we don't even know about? Actually, we can go through and we can look at the evidence that we have, the evidence from history, the evidence from the world around us, the evidence from revelation, the evidence from the knowledge of God in our own hearts, the evidence from our mental processes and thinking through all the different alternatives. But in every endeavor of study and experience, both knowing and existing or experiencing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way exemplified in the Bible, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That is the way that wins out in the realm of science, in the realm of theology, in the realm of philosophy, in the realm of religion, in the realm of ethics, in the realm of art, in the realm of history, in every single realm of study, in every single realm of experience. It is the Jesus of the Bible who is shown to be the one who is trustworthy and the only one who can save us. I'm confident that there is no test under which Jesus Christ would not come out as not only superior, but exclusive.
I think a really important point underscored by Sage and her call is the fact that if you represent someone correctly, they are much more apt to listen to what you have to say than if you misrepresent who they are, then they already know that they can't trust you. Therefore, rather than being able to reach out to them and reason with them, you're going to repel them.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I've done all the study I have, not only because I practice the golden rule and the platinum rule, but because I have a deep desire and love for people to come to know Jesus Christ as I have come to know Jesus Christ. And I can do that if the Holy Spirit works in me to touch them, but not if I close off the path of the Holy Spirit by being disrespectful or untruthful.
Bottom line, Gretchen, Halloween, should we participate? Are there other activities that we would be better served to be involved in?
We absolutely should not participate in anything that's evil or anything that brings disrespect on the gospel. We can choose to ignore or insulate or isolate ourselves from the holiday altogether. In my opinion, if I have the opportunity to do something proactively, to go out and make a stand for the gospel, to bring forth the gospel, to use the opportunity as a time to positively present the claims of the gospel, then I'm doing an even better thing than merely refraining. I'm actually redeeming the day, just as God took me, a poor and desperate and miserable sinner, and turned me into someone who could give him praise and glory.
As always, Gretchen, it is great to have you on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's a blessing. I always enjoy it.
We're out of time for today's show, but we're right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's been our pleasure to have Gretchen Passantino as our guest today. Today, Halloween is predominantly pagan, but there is still a silver lining. Like our forefathers, Christians can choose to celebrate All Hallows' Eve by focusing on heroes of the faith who were willing to stand for truth no matter what the cost. We can also overwhelm the tradition of the ghouls with the truth of the gospel. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff wants to put a little book in your hands today. It's readable, it's short, and it's a book you'll read more than once. It's A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God. And Hank wants to send you this timeless classic to thank you for your gift to help support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. And it's then that you begin to live out what you believe as an earnest disciple. The Pursuit of God helps you to understand this more clearly, and it's ready and waiting for you.
All you have to do to request your copy is call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Despite the abysmally poor track record of doomsday prophets, a growing movement emphasizing survival and preparedness in the face of anticipated widespread catastrophe has begun to garner mainstream attention. How should Christians respond to those who take prepping seriously? Are there theological ramifications? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and Matthew 24, New Light or New Hermeneutic? Is soul sleep biblical? Facing the Islamic Challenge, field-tested responses to 5 Muslim objections, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.